I'm Jason Brown, the pastor without a pulpit, and here is your faith for today. Our sermon title is The Priority of Prayer. Our text, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. Key verse, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all people. Paul writes to Timothy, a young pastor leading the church in Ephesus. The church faced false teaching, distractions, and division. Before Paul discusses church leadership or worship, he begins with one of the most important responsibilities of the church, prayer. Notice the words, first of all, Paul is not merely speaking about sequence, but about priority. Before strategies, programs, budgets, music, outreach, there must be prayer. The church advances on its knees before it advances on its feet. Today, we'll examine four truths from this passage. Prayer is the church's first priority. Paul lists four aspects of prayer. Supplication. These are specific requests for particular needs. God invites us to bring our burdens before him. And then Philippians 4:6, be anxious about nothing. Prayer is the general word for worshipful communication with God. Prayer isn't merely just asking. Prayer is communion. It's an intercession. Intercession means standing in the gap for another person. Jesus continually intercedes for believers. The church should carry one another's burdens. Giving thanks. Thanksgiving reminds us that God has already been faithful. Gratitude changes our perspective. A thankful heart is difficult for Satan to discourage. Notice who we pray for. All people, not merely friends, family, church members, but everyone, including those who oppose us. Jesus taught, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Prayer changes us before it changes others. Okay, we pray for those in authority. This is in verse 2. Paul specifically mentions, for kings and all who are in authority. This is remarkable. When Paul wrote these words, Nero ruled Rome. Nero would later persecute Christians brutally. Yet Paul did not say, hate the government. He said, pray for them. Prayer is not political endorsement. Prayer is spiritual obedience. Christians are commanded to pray for presidents, governors, legislators, judges, mayors, city councils, law enforcement, military leaders, first responders, school teachers, yes, even those, listen closely, from the other political party. That may be one of the hardest commands for Christians to obey in today's culture. It's often easier to post a meme, share a sarcastic comment, or demonize those whom we disagree, but Scripture never tells us to attack our leaders with our words. Instead, it calls us to lift them up in prayer. Our prayers should be for God's wisdom to guide them, for his protection over them, for hearts that seek justice and righteousness, and most importantly, for their salvation if they do know Christ. Remember, prayer is not an endorsement of every decision a leader makes. It is an act of faith that acknowledges God is the ultimate authority over every earthly authority. When we pray for our leaders, we place them in the hands of the one who raises up kings and removes kings. Look up Daniel 2:21. Whether we voted for them or not, whether we agree with them or not, God's command remains the same. Pray for all those in authority. Why? So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Peace and stability in society create opportunities for the gospel to spread. The early church didn't seek political power. They sought God's power through prayer. Our greatest influence on our nation is not found in angry posts or endless arguments, but in faithful, fervent prayer. The early church didn't seek political power. They prayed for peaceful conditions to preach Christ. Let's go to point 3. God's heart is for everyone to be saved, verses 3 through 6. Paul says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Then comes one of the greatest statements in Scripture, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God delights in salvation. His invitation is wide. The gospel is for every nation, every race, every language, every age, every social class. No one is beyond God's grace. There is one God. Paul reminds us there aren't many paths. There is one creator. There is one mediator. Verse 5 declares, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ, Jesus." Job longed for a mediator. Humanity needed someone to bridge the gap between sinful people and a holy God. Jesus became that bridge. He is fully God. He became fully man. Only Jesus could stand between God and humanity, not religion, not good works, not ceremonies, not any pastor, only Christ, and Jesus gave himself. Verse 6 says, "He gave himself as a ransom for all." A ransom is the price paid to release someone from captivity. Sin held us captive. Death held us captive. Satan held humanity in bondage. Jesus paid the price with his own blood. Salvation isn't cheap. It is free to us because it cost him everything. Point 4, the church has a mission. This is verse 7. Paul writes, "For this I have appointed a preacher and an apostle." Paul understood his calling. Every believer also has a calling. Not everyone is called to preach from a pulpit. See? Pastor without a pulpit. But everyone is called to proclaim Christ. The church exists to make Jesus known. Prayer fuels that mission. Without prayer, ministry becomes mechanical. Evangelism loses power. Worship becomes routine. Hearts become cold. Prayer invites God's power into God's work. Ask yourself, who have I stopped praying for? A family member? A prodigal child? A difficult neighbor? An elected official? A coworker? Someone who hurt you? God says pray for all people. Perhaps today God is calling you to begin to pray again. Imagine trying to drive across the country without fuel. Finest vehicle cannot move far on an empty tank. Prayer is the fuel of the Christian life. Churches often try to accomplish God's work through human effort alone, but ministry without prayer is like driving without gasoline. Eventually we stop. God never intended his church to run on human strength. He intended it to run on his power. Paul's message is simple but profound. Let's wrap it up. Make prayer your priority. Pray for everyone. Pray for those in authority. Remember, there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Share the gospel boldly because Christ gave himself as a ransom for all. The church's greatest influence has never been its buildings, budgets, or programs. Its greatest strength has always been a praying people who trust a saving Savior. Let us become people who pray first, love deeply, and proclaim Christ faithfully until he comes again. I'm Jason Brown, the pastor without a pulpit, and this was your faith for today.